listening to National Rock Review.
Thanks for taking the time to speak to us here at National Rock Review. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, happy to do it, yeah.
So
love you guys, man. It's awesome. Love what you guys are doing for the real rock and roll, you know.
Thank you.
We're all massive, you know, fans of, so as you can probably tell.
So obviously we catch you today in Leeds on the Carnival of Madness tour. You've been out on the road in the UK for about a week now on this tour. How's it been going so far?
It's been this tour is just, man, like, it's just, oh, God, what can I say? I can't just say that it's doing really good, because it's not doing just really good. It's, like, amazing, you know? Like, one of those tours that you don't want it to end. And unfortunately, this tour, you know, we're just doing the UK with this lineup with Blackstone and Shinedown, Highly Suspect, and all these bands, every band on this bill we've done shows with before, we've done tours with before. So it's like one of those really cool, like, family reunion style tours. Everyone is just very, it's a very homey vibe, you know, between all of us, like, you know, so it's a very familiar vibe, you know, and we're all, you know, under the Indigoot, you know, family. So, it is like touring with your brothers, you know, it's really cool.
That's great. And what's been the highlight of the tour so far for you?
Watching Blackstone Cherry every night, man. They just are just unbelievable. And we've known them for a long time, but I'd never seen them, you know, in the UK, you know. I mean, just, you know, rock and roll in the UK, just, you know, it's just, it's so apparent how just the people over here, the people that listen to music, like how much they absolutely love this real straight up rock and roll, you know, no bullshit, no frills. And, you know, in the States, I feel like, you know, there are the hardcore, like real rock fans out there, but they're a lot more few and far between. Out here, it's like, it's amazing to see, you know, rock bands headlining arenas. Nobody really does that in the States unless you're Soundgarden or Pearl Jam or something like that. But no, like, newer, more modern rock bands out there like Blackstone or us or Shinedown or anything like that. You know, like, I think Shinedown does, they do really good, like, in the States. But very rarely you'll see rock bands headlining arenas over there. And we were over here with Alter Bridge a couple of years ago, same kind of thing. But we've known the Blackstone guys for so long, and we play with them a bunch in the States, and, you know, both of us and them have, like, done some clubs and some theaters together, but, like, to come over here and see them headlining arenas, it's almost like, wow, like, this is the way it should be. Yeah. This is the way it, like, is just a dream. It's a dream come true for all of us. I'm exceptionally happy for those guys, but it's just, you know, coming over here is just, you know, you're just so thankful that there's a place that rock and roll is so alive, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm so thankful for it, you know?
That's great. Obviously, with four bands on the bill, it means you guys get a slightly shorter set. How do you go about picking a set list for a show like this?
usually it's kind of like, our mentality is kind of like the highlights of an hour and a half show. Try to just condense that to 40 minutes. And, it's fun in the sense of, like, we get to just kind of go on, wham, bam, thank you very much, ma'am, and off, you know. But it's more of a sprint than a marathon. You know, if you're playing an hour and a half, you kind of pace yourself. You have, like, high-energy moments, and you kind of bring it down, like, to really down and build it up and, like, all those, you know, peaks and valleys. This set on this tour is nothing but a 40-minute relentless kick in the ass. So that was our decision. No breaks. It's just like, go, you know, and for us it's like, ah, and done, you know. And then we walk off, we're just like, what the hell just happened? I blacked out, you know.
That's awesome. Obviously, earlier this week you released the video for Mayhem, of your latest album. I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that track and the inspiration behind it.
Mayhem was the first song that we recorded, and the first song that we kind of wrote while we were finishing up our last touring cycle on Strange Case. And, you know, it was just one of those songs that I think that all of us were just kind of, wanting to break away from, like, our first two records, which we did with Howard Benson, and where Howard Benson's kind of the king of, like, radio rock,
right.
You know. But, you know, seeing how much rock radio has changed in the States, especially, you know, I think that we just kind of wanted to shake things up and kind of, you know, just, you know, I think, trying to think back to when we were working on that. It was kind of a while ago. But, yeah, we were kind of coming towards the end of our second record, and we knew we wanted to, you know, shake things up, work with a different producer, you know, approach the recording differently. And that song was kind of like the beginning of that mentality. It was like, let's just write the most aggressive song we can think of right now. And we just kind of wrote it as just for fun. And we gave it to our A&R guy and our label, and they're like, whoa, like this is heavy. This is aggressive. This is like, whoa, different. It was really, really different. They never seen a side of us like that, you know? And yeah, sure enough, we put it in the set and just to see what the fans thought, and the fans like just reacted so positively towards it. They liked the raw energy.
Yeah, I remember hearing the track. I think I saw you guys last. It was the O2 Academy in Newcastle.
We did it there. I think we played it. We headlined over there with who are we with? Oh God, was that Nothing More and Wilson? I think it was Nothing More and Wilson.
It was the tour before that.
Yeah, it was. Oh God, I cannot. Oh well,
I can't remember either.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah, that was when we first like wrote it, and we had like a little demo made of it, and then we were starting to figure out how to piece it together live, and from playing it live, we started to play with the arrangement, play with the lyrics and the melodies and all that, and it kind of shaped itself into what it is now. And it was never intended to be a single, but you know, it was the first song that we went in to record, and it was like straight off the road. We were like, we brought in our live gear. It was our first time we made a record with our touring gear, and we just wanted to basically record us playing like we do live, you know,
yeah.
And get that energy. And I think we did it, you know, and that's one of my favorite songs in the record. So.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the video was fun to do. We did the video in like maybe under an hour. We actually did it. We did the video for Mayhem and Apocalyptic in the same day. So we knocked them both out pretty quick, and they both turned out pretty well.
That's cool. And what's your favorite track to perform live and why?
Ooh, well, Mayhem's a fun one. Definitely. On this tour, we haven't been doing too many. It's been kind of a short set. So on this tour, I Mayhem and I'm the Fire is a fun one. I don't know. As far as the drumming goes, like it's all the same to me. But a lot of the songs that I really enjoy playing are the ones I get to sing on, which are pretty fun. Like this song called "The Reckoning" on our record that has the backup vocals are a lot of fun to sing, a lot of high notes, and "Sick Individual" is pretty fun because I get to sing through the whole chorus, and you know. So that's been my fun new challenge is like trying to juggle two things at once, trying to sing and drum at the same time, which is kind of tricky, you know, but, you know, after a lot of practice, it's getting easier, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, because you put so much energy into your performance. I mean, watching you play, it's like...
It's hard to, like, remember to breathe. Oh, boy, I got to sing here. Woo! You know? Yeah. Singing is a lot of fun. Like, it's one of my favorite things to do, you know, so...
Yeah, I mean, like I said, obviously, you put your heart and soul in your performance.
Oh, thanks.
Which drummers have inspired you throughout your career?
Drummers?
Yeah.
Drummers, the ones that I looked up to growing up were guys like John Bonham and Keith Moon, Ginger Baker, all the guys from England, you know, all the English cats, you know, all the British people that came over and taught us how to rock, you know.
That's cool. Do you remember the moment in your life when you decided that you wanted to be a drummer?
I don't know. It always just kind of looked like fun to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I think a lot of times your instrument chooses you rather than you choosing it. I think, had I been the one choosing my instrument, I probably would have become like a singer or a front man. Cause I was always influenced by front men, but, I always loved playing drums too, you know, and I was always drawn towards drummers. So, you know, my entire career, I've always tried to split those two drummer, implementing, things from drummers that I watch and also implementing things at frontmen
right.
that I've watched. But, you know, I just started beating on stuff when I was a kid, and it just kind of, I just, you know, kind of fell into it. You know, when we started the band, you know, my sister and I, we wanted to jam together, and, you know, we had a drum set in the house. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll play the drum set, whatever, you know. And it was actually my sister's drum set. My parents got it for my sister one year. And when I was like three, she was like six or something like that. And I used to sneak into her room and play it. And I'd hear them walking up the steps. I was like, oh, shit, run back to my room. Like, you know. And then, like, after seven or eight times, they finally gave it to me. And it was just – it was a really good way because I was kind of a very noisy, rambunctious kid. So it was a good way for me to get some energy out in a constructive way, you know.
That's awesome. Obviously, you guys have got pretty much a nonstop touring schedule. I mean, I was just trying to look through your Instagram and Twitter, and it was like Australia, Hawaii, and, you know, all over the place.
That last tour we did at the end of last year, that was a killer, but it was fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, with spending so much of your life on stage, how do you actually like to spend your downtime when you're not actually performing?
You know, it's funny, like... I don't think any of us know how to live a normal life. I come home and I try to be a husband and try to be a, you know, when I'm at home, and it's just like, I feel kind of a fish out of water, you know, but it's fun. Like I really like the little things like cooking, making coffee in the morning, you know, going out, you know, just hanging out with my friends and with my wife back home. I really don't take it for granted as much as I think anyone else would, you know. Because this has been my existence for so long, you know, 10 months out of the year, we're on the road. That we counted, like, we were on the road for like 260-something days out of last year. It was just insane. It was like, God, you know, like, the fact that my wife still wants to be with me is a miracle, you know. And, you know, it's what we signed up for, and it's what we love to do more than anything. It's just kind of what we do. You know, and for so many years, and I try to look back on looking back on the 21, 22-year-old RJ and thinking and remembering, you know, how much I hated being at home, how much I loved being on the road. And now the 28-year-old me is kind of like, you know, I kind of like being at home too, you know. So now it feels different, but it feels like, you know, like our entire career since we started Hailstorm, it was like sacrifice everything in our lives for the band, you know, put everything into the band, and, you know, none of us were making any money. We were all living at our parents' house. So, of course, when you're living at your parents' house, the last thing you want to do is be at your parents' house. So we loved being on the road, you know, because that means we didn't have to stay at our parents' house. But now that I've gotten older, I've got my own place and everything, now, you know, I kind of enjoy both, you know, in their own way, you know. And I feel thankful that I get to do this, and then I also get to go home to, you know, my own home now, you know, at least, you know, it's kind of starting to pay off a little bit. So yeah, it's great. I feel very blessed, you know?
Definitely. So obviously you play a lot of music. When you're actually off stage, do you listen to much music? And if so, which bands do you listen to at the moment?
I just love listening to great songwriting, you know, and I love being inspired by that. And, you know, growing up, I used to always listen to bands with crazy drummers, you know, and some of the more modern drummers that we started getting to play shows with and getting to watch every night were bands like Korn and Dave Grohl, of course.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl is like probably the best modern drummer, but I love Ray Luzier, love Morgan Rose, Will Hunt, you know, and I used to listen to those bands with the crazy drummers, and now my ear has changed a lot now to listening to music with very kind of simple musicianship and more heavily based on lyrics and melody, you know. Like I used to listen to like heavy metal, and you know, I still love that shit. I still love bands like Soilwork and God, there's a really great band called Wilson that we're going out with. Of course, Blackstone Cherry. Yeah. You know, love, you know, Shinedown and Korn and Seven Dust and all those bands, like all the bands that we've gotten to know really personally and that we really love. Seether is another great one. Too many to name. But now, like, my ear has kind of changed towards listening to more like esteemed, like, modern-day songwriters. I still listen to, like, the classics. Like, some of my favorite, like, my favorite song right now is Unbreak My Heart. You know, just listening to that song, listening to that lyric, like, the way that they worded it, you know. Think about the line, Unbreak My Heart, you know. So many songs you've heard, like, Don't Break My Heart, You Broke My Heart. Please don't go. Yeah. Please don't break my heart. But saying unbreak my heart is a weird way to say it. And it's a cool lyric that really sticks in your memory because it makes you think a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really into that stuff. I love Ryan Tedder from OneRepublic. I think he's one of the greatest songwriters of our generation. Love Marcus Mumford. Dude, have you heard the new Mumford & Sons record?
Yeah, it's totally different.
Wilder Mind?
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I love that they... I commend them not recreating themselves, but reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
Their new sound, they went from, like, the Celtic folk, the banjo-driven stuff, to, like, now they're plugging the electric guitars. They got a real drummer, and it's like, kind of, like, almost falls into, like, Foo Fighters, who, that's another one. I love Foo Fighters, love Kings Leon. You know, I'm just kind of into that stuff right now. Just really great songwriting. Love the Americana stuff. This one artist, Lindy Ortega.
Yeah, I know. Really, she's touring the UK.
Do you know her?
Yeah.
No way. Yeah, the song Ashes that she had out now, it just blew my mind. I was like, this is the most brilliant fucking lyric songwriting. So I've been just like trying to absorb all that and trying to let it speak to me and let it come out in my own writing. You know, because I'm like, I listen to that stuff and I'm like, I want to write stuff like this, powerful songs that people listen to, and it like makes them feel something. You know,
she is an amazing songwriter.
Oh, she's incredible!
I saw her play last year. She played in Newcastle. She actually played in Newcastle where I live last week, but I missed the show. But she is phenomenal.
Like, I love songwriters like that are just natural talents. My wife is that kind of writer. She never co-writes. She works with producers, but she's never like she doesn't write good songs when she's with other people. She just lets them pour out of herself. Mm-hmm. And people listen to it and they're like, sold. That's it. That's a hit. That's great. You know, I'm sorry. I can go off on this for hours, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I love like natural songwriting talent. So I've been trying to really, really challenge myself to strengthen that and sharpen that, you know?
That's great. I mean, obviously I read that you did a Q&A masterclass this week at BIM in London, I think it was, mm-hmm. right? And it must have felt good to be able to kind of share some of your experiences and knowledge with those students.
It was incredible. My God, they're so great. What was that? I'm sorry, were you going still?
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to say, I mean, it was really amazing to be there. It was kind of tough though, because we were in a time crunch and there was all four of us. We only had one mic. So I didn't really get a chance to like really... it just kind of sucked, you know, because we were on a tight schedule. It was a press day in London. We had to get out of there. We had a business dinner that night, so we didn't get a chance to like stay very long, which I felt really cheated. I felt really bad, you know, for everyone that came, because like we would have stayed there for another 2 hours if we could. And I felt like a lot of the points that I wanted to make, I didn't really get a chance to because we were, you know, it was a short amount of time. We're all kind of ramblers, you know, and most of the questions were kind of aimed towards like, you know, they're asking Lizzie about her, you know, vocal techniques and stuff like that. And my sister the one thing she's really good at besides singing is talking. And she will talk. She'll probably talk more than me. But afterwards I went on my Instagram and a lot of the students contacted me and I got to do some questions and answers over Twitter and Instagram. So, and just like after that, like really, really having personal one-on-one time with them, even though it was just over social media, like it really just made me so like amazed and so excited, like to see like a new generation of kids excited about making real music.
Yeah,
you know, not just you know, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I love electronic music. Mm-hmm. I really do. I have a place for it in my heart, but you know, obviously I have a bigger love for you know, music that's organically created, you mm-hmm. know, with real instruments and real heart and souls.
So, yeah,
you know, that was really cool to see that, you know, in the younger kids, you know.
That's great. I mean, you're also going out and tour with Fleet of Four and Dorothy.
I'm so stoked about that. Yeah.
So yeah, that was the question I was going to say. You obviously must be quite excited about that.
Fleet of Four? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She's still a babe. I gotta say, man. Woo! Like she is. Oh man. She's incredible, man. She's like. Oh yeah, like it doesn't God, what a fucking legendary front woman. You know, like just a badass. You know, she's always just been a badass. And I got to meet her a couple, I think it was maybe a year or two ago. God, I forget how long it is. Oh, I can't keep track of dates. But I got to meet her. We did this benefit concert for Ronnie James Dio
right.
in L.A. at the Avalon yeah. in Los Angeles. And I got to meet her there. And my God, she's such a sweetheart. And like, she has not aged at all. She's still, like, total babe. I was like, and I was kind of fanboying. I was like, I love Miss Ford. I love you. And so that's definitely, like, talk about, like, scratch one off the bucket list. She's, you know, one of, I think collectively, I speak for all of us, you know, all love Lita Ford and the Runaways and all that. So, and we're really good friends with her bass player, Marty O'Brien, who is a legendary, insane session bass player and a good friend of ours. So, yeah, that'll be a fun tour. Dorothy is really cool, too. I hadn't heard of him until I saw him on the bill, but I listened to him and they're awesome too. They're really, really good. And it was just like hearing them. Same point I made earlier about like the kids making mm-hmm. real music. Like, you know, I'm excited to see like new up and coming artists that are starting to break. You know, at least like somewhere near or in the mainstream with you know that are actually real raw talent. You know, so I'm excited about that.
Cool. And you're also coming back to play Download Festival this yes. summer. I know you played there, I think it was like 2012, was that the last time?
Yeah, it's been like 3 years, I yeah. think. This will be our third time there, and it was cool. We started on the tent,
yeah,
and then we played the second stage, and now we're on the main stage, I think somewhere kind of in the middle, or around the evening,
yeah.
I think. I don't know what time we're playing, but I'm excited to finally play the main stage. It's one of my favorite festivals. Actually, that festival was a big inspiration on us when we were writing Freak Like Me. Because that was our like first festival that we experienced the UK festival crowd,
yeah,
which is like even crazier. Like I was saying earlier about like over here the rock fans are like way more just like into it. You know, it was like that. Like people, I like 10 miles out of the festival, we saw tents, people camping in the rain, in the mud, like they're sleeping in a foot of water. And they're up at the crack of dawn with their boots and their overalls and just drinking beer, standing up, rocking out for 10 hours straight, no food, just beer. And they're probably doing some other substance that are suppressing their hunger. You know, like, God, good for you guys, man. That is like, man, you guys are freaks. Like, it's awesome. You know, I was like, wait, we're freaks too. We need to write a song about this, you know? So thank you, Download, for the inspiration.
That's cool. Do you have any plans to do like a full headline tour this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on the schedule quite yet, but yeah, usually every year, we try not to let too much time go by before we do a headline tour in the UK, and we definitely will because we're headlining Europe after this run in the UK,
right.
And we're definitely going to come back and do some headline shows. In fact, when we come back in the festival run, we might have a couple headline ones thrown in. I'm not entirely sure quite yet. It's still pretty early, but yeah, as far as I'm concerned. Fuck yes.
Yeah. And the last question I've got for you basically is, so what else do Hailstorm have in store for the rest of this year?
Well, we're doing a lot of touring. you know, hopefully not as much as last year. Please don't make me do it. No, not really. No, honestly, we love touring. We love being on the road. This is our first love, first thing we love to do. But I'm kind of looking forward to we got the entire month of March off. Plus, like, the last week in February. So, like, I got, like, 5 weeks at home, and I haven't had that in so long. So I'm really going to take advantage of that. I'm going to spend as much time with my girl as I can and just lock myself in my studio and just try to write, and demo up just a ton of songs. So that way, when we go into making the next record, we'll just be a little bit further ahead than if we were to just stop and then try to figure it out from there. You know, we've all been kind of frantically, even though we're kind of like in the middle of the Wildlife album cycle, we're not wasting any time. We're getting started now on writing the next record just so we can quickly, you know, knock it out and we don't have to spend too much time away from the fans. So
yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, just a lot of touring, a lot of writing, you know, just what we do best.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to speak to
Sajid. Thank you so much. Yeah. What a great conversation. Yeah, that was fun.
I really
enjoyed
chatting with you.
You know, I love doing these one-on-one interviews. I love interviewing with my band, but I love getting to, like, really get into things, you know, talk about stuff. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem.